blessing is passing on to man the same power God used to create. It didn't make any difference where you end up when you got the blessing. Wherever you go, that place is going to be blessed. That's the authority that you carry as a believer. The miraculous should become normal, and we should walk in the supernatural every day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. The resurrection was not a place. The resurrection was a person. The Word of God is the resurrection. Jesus and the Word are one. The Word will raise up anything that's dead. If I ever take the Word and pour it on it, it will live again. Grief and faith come from two different sources. Got it? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, Jesus took our grief. And he took your grief because grief spirit will try to work its way into your life, because grief means loss. And the spirit is designed to come in and cause loss. Remember when the man who was the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. He said, all that have I done from my youth. He said, well, one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me. And the Bible says the man was sad at that saying, for he was grieved and went away. Now, my point to you is, notice he saw loss coming. And grief is a sign of loss. The Bible says we as Christians are not a people without hope. Because when we leave the earth, the Bible doesn't call us dying. It calls us falling asleep. And when you do fall asleep, you just check out of the body you in, and to be absent from the body, come on, is to be present with the Lord. Well, why should I grieve and you just as alive as me? Say amen. So I'm telling you, grief, if allowed, will not only try to take your life if it's lasting, but it will also try to move through a family and take that out. So you've got to understand, I cry about my loved ones. I thank God. I said, Lord, thank you. My loved ones were with me. Maybe I cry because they're not there anymore, but I don't get into lasting grief. Say amen to that. If I do get into lasting grief, I can open the door to some things. And look at Jacob's life. Look at what it did to him. It's trying to cut him short. And he was embarrassed to even tell how old he was, because he hadn't lived as long as his parents had lived. Say amen to that. So my point to you is, I'm not being insensitive. I just want you to know that there are principles in here that call for a supernatural lifestyle, that if you violate those, you can open yourself up to a curse that's never intended to come into you and your family. You better hear what I'm telling you. Now, I know it's hard, but it's fair. And you got to understand, you love those people, they love you, but if they say, they're just as alive as you are. The only thing about it, they don't have a body like you have anymore, and because you don't have a body in the earth, you got to leave it. But you'll see them again. They're looking down at you right now. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says they're a crowd of witnesses. They're looking down at you right now. And you look in that casket, those are called remains. That was a house that that person had when they lived here. But now they're moving into a big house. Now, you hear what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to minimize sometimes the pain of losing a loved one. Cry and get it over with. My point to you is you got to keep living down here, because you're still going to be held accountable for the life that you live while you're here, and you're going to get the rewards for that life. I know some people don't want to hear this. You need to hear this. If you don't want to hear it, you need to hear it. Because that spirit of grief is trying to get a hold of your life, and he don't like me telling you what I'm telling you right now. So, what am I telling you? I'm saying that Jesus came to the gravesite of Lazarus. And when they came and told Jesus, the one who you love is sick. In other words, they were panic-stricken. They were fearful of something going to happen to him. And when they said all of that, the next thing you know is Jesus said, say it right there, 2 more days. Didn't even move. Didn't even move, as well as he knew that man. Didn't move. Why? Because you got to move in the timing of God. If you go back and look at the previous chapter, you'll see that Pharisees and them were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him. They were trying to do away with his life. So sometimes the enemy, God has you to move in his pace. He has you to go the long way around. He has you to do things that are not quite understanding to your mind. But your job is to hear God and obey what he says do. And so as a result of that, Jesus comes there, and then when he comes, one of them came, Martha and Mary came and said, hey, if you had only been here earlier, he would not have died. Jesus said, your brother will live again. He'll rise again. And they said, yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. Watch this. And the last day. In the resurrection and the last day. Now, all you know this, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. The resurrection was not a place. The resurrection was a person. I am the resurrection. The Word of God is the resurrection. Jesus and the Word are one. The Word, if you get it in your life, it'll raise up anything that's dead. It gives life to the dead. And I'm telling you, if something looked dead in your life, put the Word on it. Now, you've got to see this, because there is nothing too hard for God. And you've got to get the God factor down in here. If anything looks like it's dead, put the Word on it. I said, put the Word on it. Let's go to Job, please. It's Job chapter 14, verse 7. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will what? Sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof, what? Will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through a scent of water, it will do what? Bud again. Come on, and bring forth boughs like a plant. In other words, whatever is dead, if I ever pour a little water on it, the water represents the Word of God. If I ever take the Word and pour it on it, it will live again. When God asked the prophet, he said, son of man, can these dry bones live? The prophet, he couldn't know how to answer that, because that was impossible. He said, well, Lord, you know. He said, yeah, you know too. Speak to them bones. And he prophesied, and the ankle bone came together with the foot bone, and the hip bone. See, y'all sing all them songs at church. The hip bone came together with the backbone, and the backbone came together with the shoulder bone, and here's the Word of the Lord. A drop of this. The doctor says something in your body is dead, won't function no more. Come on, put a little of this on there. Drop a little of this in there. Come on, somebody listen to me now. Just do it by faith. Just believe the word of God. So what happened? I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. In other words, wait a minute, you don't need to wait till the last day. Use your faith and get him now. Then this is what he said. Jesus wept. For years, that was the only scripture I knew. Jesus wept. But he didn't weep because he was grieving. He wept because of the unbelief of people who supposed to know God. Then he said, roll away the stone. Now he's putting his whole ministry on the line. And that's what I preached on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I preach being under the influence. See, when you're really in faith, you don't possess it, it possesses you. The force of faith affects your thinking and gets you out of your mind. To the point that you're under the influence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you tell me anybody under the influence of being drunk, inebriated, soused, whatever you want to call it, they're drunk as a skunk, try to embarrass them. Look at you like you stole something. You can't. When you're under the influence of faith, you can't be embarrassed. And that's why many people don't move into the supernatural, because they're not yet under the influence. You got to keep drinking until you get drunk, until you get under the influence. Now nobody can stop you from getting your inheritance. So self-conscious and so pretty and all your hair and walking all, you know, you ain't under the influence yet. But when you start staggering, oh yeah, something about to happen, buddy. Something about to happen. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. No. Jesus said, roll away the stone. The stone of tradition. The stone of unbelief. The stone of doubt. The stone of self-consciousness. Roll away the stone. Then he let it out. Lazarus! Well, he had to call him by name, because if he didn't say the name, everybody up in there. Lazarus! Come forth! Well, can you imagine the power he released? He said, the things that I did shall you do too. Call it forth, money! Come in, you now, come in here. Came forth wrapped in grave clothes. That's a whole nother teaching. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let me show you this. I showed you last time. I want to show you again. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. See, this lady came to me. I was preaching in Fort Worth, and she came. She was crying. She said, oh, Pastor, she said, you preach a message on miracles and so forth. She said, you know, I believe that we could really raise my brother from the dead or what, uncle, whatever it was. She was crying, and Usher had stopped me in the hall. He said, this woman is persistent. She wants to talk to you. I said, okay. And I said, okay. I said, yes. I said, God can do that. She said, well, praise God. I need somebody to agree with me. I said, I'll agree with you. I said, now, where is he now? Is he in the hospital, in the morgue, or what? She said, no, he's been dead for 3 weeks. See that? And that's what happened to Moses in Numbers chapter 11. Moses, God said, Moses, I'm going to feed all of them meat. Tell them I'm going to feed them meat, not 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, a week. I'm going to feed them meat for a whole month. I'm going to feed them so much till it runs out of their nostrils. And he hit Moses' choke point. He hit the point where Moses had to catch his breath. Moses said, wait a minute now. Can all the fish of the sea be brought here to feed these people? Can the birds of the air be marshaled all together to feed them? In other words, there's no way out in this wilderness you're going to be able to take care of people on that level. There's no way between jobs when I'm searching for jobs is God going to be able to take care of me on this level. God said something. He said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? I'm asking you right now, is there anything too hard for God? Folks, he'll do it for you. All he needs is a believer. All he needs is somebody that's willing to get drunk, get out of their mind, get willing to just... This is our time. We're not going to let this moment pass by. We can get miracles that will astound the world that the Bible hasn't even written about.
Look what it says. Look what it says in Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his what? Resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I know they were preaching the gospel. I'm talking about these relatives that have been dead for 8 years showed up on the doorstep preaching about Jesus. Don't tell me what God can't do. It's in the book. See, she kind of hit my choke point there for a minute. She said, no, he's been dead for 3 weeks. Well, wait a minute. So what? Tell you. You get under that influence, all things become possible. I want to drift on into this place next time of entering into a strong man's house.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Yes, sir.
Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3.
All right.
See, if you hear this word like you're supposed to hear it, you'll get under the influence. Next thing you know, you'll be speaking to all kinds of stuff. Speaking to your pocketbook, speaking to that crazy husband, speaking to just, no, I won't say that. Speaking to him, speaking to them kids running out trying to act. Oh boy, you start speaking. Because you don't care who hears you. Roll away the stone. Be willing to put your ministry on the line. We're going to see a miracle here that no man can manufacture. So when it happens, you won't have any doubt. as to whether Jesus is Lord. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. So what am I saying? That there is a strong man. And I just want to show you one scripture, because here's a principle of dealing with a strong man that I want to show you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is David now coming, and Goliath now is up there facing the children of Israel. Goliath is a Philistine giant. Look what happens. This is a principle. Verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, this is a principle. We're going to deal with some of this next time. Because Satan is highly organized. He has different levels and ranks. And we'll start in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about that you and I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible says in the Amplified, we're not contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, and against master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. We're not going against an intellectual devil. So what am I saying? Here's a principle. Jesus never dealt with privates. He dealt with generals. And the thing of dealing with privates is, once you get done battling one private, the general will send another private up there. But if you ever get the strong man, if you ever cut Goliath's head off, the other demons will run. I trust that you are blessed by that exciting teaching. Now, that's understanding the supernatural. Now, today's message is a part of a powerful four-disc series. And there are 3 points I'd like you to remember. One, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, what is he saying here? He and the Word are one. When you see Jesus, you see the Word of God. And whatever Jesus could do, the Word can do. So the point of it is, if there's anything wrong in your life, the Word of God will bring life to it. In other words, if it's dead, it'll bring it to life. There's a scripture over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That word quicken means bring alive. It might be a part of your body that seemed to be dead. It's atrophied, not working. The Word of God will bring it alive. Praise God. Point number two, get the word of God, and it will raise up anything that's dead in your life. Over in Job chapter 14, he talks about if you just put a little scent of the water in this particular situation, it could be he was referring to a plant, that the plant, even though the root seems dead, it'll come alive again. You see, the word of God is designed to fix anything that's broke. Number three, when you are really in faith, you don't possess it. It possesses you. Now, just think about a person who's inebriated. You know what that means? It means drunk. Here's a person who's been drinking too much. Notice what happens. Somewhere, it changes. Their personality changes. The alcohol takes over. Well, the faith is the same way. When you really got faith inside of you, it'll take over. You don't possess it anymore. It's possessing you. It's taking you exactly where God wants you to go. Praise God. Get faith. Hallelujah. Our announcer is going to give you some more important information about how you can obtain this powerful set of teachings, and I'll be right back.
That blessing is passing on to man the same power God used to create. It didn't make any difference where you end up when you got the blessing. Wherever you go, that place is going to be blessed. That's the authority that you carry as a believer. The miraculous should become normal, and we should walk in the supernatural every day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. The resurrection was not a place. The resurrection was a person. The Word of God is the resurrection. Jesus and the Word are one. The Word will raise up anything that's dead. If I ever take the Word and pour it on it, it will live again.
Renew your mind to a new way of living in the power of the blessing and experience increase with Dr. Bill Winston's four-disc series entitled Understanding the Supernatural. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org. Order your copy today of this four-disc series, Understanding the Supernatural.
Now, there are principles in the kingdom of God that call for a supernatural lifestyle. Now, the main principle is to allow yourself to be under the influence of the force of faith. Now, you leave your natural thinking now and move into the supernatural. Now, this week, I'd like you just to examine your life and see where you dare to believe God and get under the influence of the force of faith. Just trust God and watch Him do the impossible in your life. It's a powerful teaching. Well, this is Bill Winston saying that's all we have for this time. We're going to see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to take the uncompromised Word of God to the whole world. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.